God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today's Wednesday, the 22nd day of February, 2012, and you're listening to our midweek worship. Our sermon is preached by visiting missionary, Brother Ken Lyles. Brother Lyles evangelizes Iranians worldwide, those who have fled the regime in Iran. His message is entitled, Just Say Hello. So thanks for listening, and we know you'll be blessed from the preaching of God's Word.
Our journey began 48 years ago when we got married and went into an internship in a church, knowing that our destination would be go to the mission field. And I can say it has been a ride. It has been a wonderful life. During this time, my job usually when I get up and speak is to tell you about the family. God blessed our family with 6 children. We have 3 sons and 3 daughters. And from those 6 children, we have 21 grandchildren. Aren't you jealous? No, I love my grandchildren. The only problem is they live everywhere else in the world except where I am. And that's okay, because someday we're going to all be in heaven, aren't we? And we'll get to celebrate and party, and Grandma will color with them as long as they want, you know. But I am so thankful for God's leadership in our lives. I would not trade giving my life to the Lord. I was 13 years old at a youth camp when I felt God's call on my life. And I thought, you know, I didn't know what it meant. I had never even met a missionary at that time. I had no clue. I just knew that God doesn't make mistakes. And if you give something to Him, He'll do more with it than you can do with it. So in this course of time, I taught this to my children too, because I really believe it. And as a result of these 6 children, we now have 3 that are missionaries. We have 2 that teach in seminary and have churches, 3 or 4 churches down in Lima, Peru. We have 1 that lives in Rome, Italy as a missionary, and he is starting to win Romans to Christ. Led an Iranian in Rome the other day to Christ. Is that not cool? I think it is so neat that how God, once you give your life to him, you don't know what's going to happen. And that is so neat. And rather than sitting here and feeling depressed, I just feel like if we'll just get up and do what God needs done in the world, we'll sure be a lot happier. And so that's what we get to do. The other 3 children, I have a son that is a children's pastor in Plano, Texas. And he loves working with children. But this summer, he had a Bible school that just blew me away. He had his teachers all organized and planned, and they had 950 kids from grades 1 through 5. 950. What did he do with them? Everything you can imagine. Blow-ups to everything, you know. They had a blast, and had lots of kids that trusted Christ, too. I have a daughter who, she and her husband are youth pastors in Kansas City. They have 250 teenagers in their youth department. And many of their kids now are surrendering their lives to go serve the Lord. And then I have a daughter that works in their church in Texas, in Berean Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. But you know, God is so good. Because if he calls and we listen, you know, when preacher preaches, the message every week is just for us. And when God speaks to you, don't be afraid. Jesus says, fear not, little flock. Don't be afraid. You say, well, what if God does call my young people to somewhere? Well, so, you know, what if he does call them? If he doesn't, they'll go to Afghanistan anyway and be a soldier maybe, huh? And so the way I look at it is God does not make mistakes, and he has so blessed our lives. And your church has been a part of our ministry for years. You supported us when we were first missionaries way long time ago. And then we had your pastor and his wife in Bible college when we went there and taught. And now they've been supporting us for several years again. And we want you to know we couldn't do what we get to do without churches like yours. I hope that some of you will take a real interest in the Islamic world, knowing that there's people trusting Christ every single day. While the churches here may be dead, I wish I could take you to a Wednesday night prayer meeting in Birmingham, England. They come at 4 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. and they have an hour prayer meeting. The first 30 minutes, you can't ask God for nothing. You just have to praise him for what he's done. And then the second 30 minutes, and you know what they're praying for? God, would you wake up the Christian churches in England? Now, these are Muslims praying for the Brits. You know what I mean? It's exciting to be in a service like that. But anyway, and then we have 1 hour of Bible study, a whole hour of just Bible study. No singing, no dancing, nothing up on the platform. You know what I mean? Just Bible study. And we really get to enjoy being with these Christians because their faith is so new and so fresh. It refreshes our heart. We leave there ready to go out and work another week for the Lord. And so we hope you'll be encouraged by what you hear tonight, that your lives will be changed. They'll never be the same. They should never be the same from day to day when you're growing in Christ. Thank you for this opportunity to be here with you tonight.
And she said she wasn't going to preach, but that's a pretty good sermon, wasn't it? I suppose we could just pray and go home. How's that? Get a few smiles on the faces. Well, we are delighted to be here, and the Lord sure has changed your environment since last we were here. And I thank the Lord for what he's doing with this congregation, with you, and your ministry in this city and around the world. Thank you for being partners with us all these years. If you'll open your Bibles, I just want to use this as a sort of a launching pad. We have a PowerPoint presentation. I thought I would share a little bit about Muslim evangelism for dummies. A lot of people feel like that they're not very good at, you know, what do I say if I meet a Muslim? And I know you're off back here in the fields of Ponca City. And you may not see many Muslims here. If you do see them, you'll see them at Walmart, okay, or Kmart, or whatever mart you have. And if you have a small college, you'll have, you probably got Iranians there, but you'll have Muslims there as well. And it really doesn't matter if you have a whole group of Muslims in your city or not. In the world in which we live, it's globalizing, right? And so what happens in this part of the world is really happening in our living room. It's happening in our mind. It's happening in our life. And we are face-to-face with the Muslim world. We're in a war with Islam. Now, I know our president says we're not in a war with Islam. We'd never be in a war with Islam, but it's kind of hard to explain how we are fighting a war in Afghanistan, have fought one in Iraq. And there's a Cold War with Islam going on, has been going on since President Bush and 9/11, and long before that. But I'm not here to correct the president. I'm here to preach the word and to share with you what God is doing in the world. We know what Muslims are doing in the world and what a lot of others are doing in the world, but sometimes we lose sight of what the Lord is doing in the world, and it's his kingdom we're really seeking first. Amen. Thy kingdom come. It's his kingdom that we're concerned about, his kingdom we want to be watching and working for. So if you'll open your Bibles just to 1 Corinthians 16, and this is the verse of our ministry. I just want to share the verse and then tell you a little bit about it and how it applies to our life. In chapter 16, 1 Corinthians, and verse 7, Paul writes, "For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus till Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." And I think that this characterizes the ministry that the Lord has put Carrie and I in. We have a great door of opportunity. It is that Greek word there is mega door. We have a mega opportunity that the Lord has put in front of us working with the Iranians. We did not plan on working with the Iranians, but since we were not very good planners, God planned for us. And he planned that we would work with them. Years ago, 30 years ago, Terry and I tried to be missionaries to Pakistan. If any of you were around in those days, we tried to go to Pakistan. And that was because my dad volunteered me. A missionary came and spoke at a youth rally, and my dad was so touched, emotionally moved by that missionary's presentation that he stood up right there in front of all those young people, God and everybody, and said, I'm too old to go to the mission field, but I'll send my kids. I'm saying, Dad, that's my life. But anyway, about a few months later, we surrendered to go to the field of Pakistan. And so we went to college and planned to do that and set out to do that, got approved to do that as missionaries, and never went. Not that we didn't try. Missionary said, come to Iran and we'll get you in to the country of Pakistan. It's just right next door. So we went to Iran, and there we were for 13 years. After a few years, I began to wonder, Lord, am I out of your will? What am I doing here? Well, we learned the language. Thought it would be a good idea. It was similar to the Pakistani language, which is Urdu. And Farsi kind of sounds like something like this. Khuda muhabbat khud ra sabit kard az inke hangami ke ma gunahkar budim masih dar rah ma mord. And that's Romans 10:9. And so we learned the language and we applied to go. And I remember going to the consulate in Pakistan, in Iran. It was a Pakistani consulate. And I said, we want to get into your country. And he said, I wouldn't touch you with a 10-foot pole, in plain English. You can't get into our country. And I said, Lord, I surrendered my life to go. What am I doing in this country? Well, a little bit later on, the Lord comforted my heart with the scriptures. And that's what he does, isn't it? Aren't the scriptures a comfort to us? And in the book of Proverbs, it says, the lot is cast into the lap. The whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. And in another place, same chapter says, a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And I said, thank you, Lord. Now I understand. My heart wanted to go to Pakistan, but you redirected us because Iran was going to be a strategic place 30 years later. And now I understand even more why we learned the language, why we learned the culture, why we got with the people, because now we are ministering to the Iranian diaspora, displaced Iranians all over Europe and Southeast Asia. Iranians that can't stand Islam, that are looking for freedom and peace, and they are very receptive to the gospel. Only the Lord knew that. So this is our mega opportunity. But we have a lot of adversaries. In every one of our meetings, pick out the spy that has come to our meetings. And he's an Iranian from Iran, and he's looking to see who's converting to Christianity and who's going to do this and who's doing that. And he intimidates them. He goes to them and he'll say something like this, don't you come to this church anymore because we know where your parents live in Iran. And those kind of threats. And all of the believers in Europe, even though they have freedom, a measure of freedom, they're hounded, they're persecuted, and I'd like to ask you to pray for them. Pray for the believers that the pastor at the Noor Church in Birmingham, just as an example, that man wears a weight on his shoulders that's just incredible. And it gets the best of him every once in a while, and he has to take 2 or 3 days off because he's just so burdened. The Iranians will share their burdens with him. He doesn't know what to do. He can't help them all. He doesn't have the money. He doesn't have, doesn't even have the knowledge to know how to work out the problems that they're facing as refugees and as immigrants. And so he just has this tremendous weight that is greater than his physical strength can bear. But he's a man of God. Wow, can he preach? And preach a message every Sunday that man rings a bell. I've never, as we say in preacher parlance, I've never heard him lay an or seen him lay an egg. Okay, heard him lay an egg. That'd be a big egg, wouldn't it? Okay, well, this is our ministry. There are many adversaries. And if you don't pray for us, we're going to fail. And so I ask you to just to bombard the throne of God. Pray for us that God will give us wisdom, strength, and power, and that he'll protect us. We have had our lives threatened. Our refugee center, for example, is under threat all the time. Hezbollah of Greece has threatened the leaders of that refugee center that ministers to 150 Farsi speakers a night. And they've threatened them. If you don't stop preaching to Iranians and Afghanis, we're going to come and kill every one of you in your meeting. And they minister under that cloud every night. I remember one night, Brother Jerry Abbott was there, and I was there, and both of us were thinking the same thing, but we didn't say anything about it. But I was thinking, this is my last night in the ministry. And Brother Jerry said he was thinking about the same thing. Now, those are not pleasant thoughts, beloved. You know, I'm no super Christian when it comes to that. But I'm thinking, this could be my last service. They could come in with machine guns and do what they've done in Pakistan and other countries and just spray the whole congregation. And that could be the last night. So, you know, I don't go to the Oasis all of the time, but the workers do. And they live under that cloud. So pray for us, would you? That there's a great door. If I let me tell you about the door of opportunity that is so great. They say that there is probably 1 million believers inside the country of Iran. And many of them are in the upper echelons. Now, if you don't believe me, read Joel Rosenberg, Inside the Revolution. If you're a fan of Joel Rosenberg's novels and things that he's written, read his book. It's not a novel, but it's a factual report of what is happening in the kingdom of God inside the revolution, the Islamic revolution. And he says there are some people that say, and I think this is really a stretch, but there could be as many as 4 million believers inside the country. We know for sure that there's over 300 underground churches in Iran. And that's just the ones they know about. But God is doing such a great work among the Iranians. They're the most receptive Muslim people group in the whole world. And the Lord has given you and us the opportunity to access this open door and to be used of him to enlarge his kingdom. He's doing such great work. There's one Iranian lady inside the country. Her goal is to win 15 Iranians a day to Christ. She's Iranian. She speaks, I don't know how many she speaks to, but her goal is to win 15 a day. And her long-term goal is to win 7,000 Iranians by a certain time. Now, here's what I think is interesting. She says, it takes me 25 minutes to win one of my Iranian compatriots to the Lord. 25 minutes. But if they're a real hard case, it could take me 30. So, I thought it's kind of humorous. But the fact that there's an Iranian Christian inside the country who has the zeal to witness 50 to 15 people a day, with the intent of winning them, thinking she's going to win 15 a day, is absolutely a mega opportunity. Amen? So please pray for her. I wouldn't tell you her name if I knew it, but I don't know it. I just know that she's there. And this has been reported as well on paper. So this is the door of opportunity. And we just have come to thank you for what you have done, and to ask you to seize the moment. This is a moment in time that you and I have, a golden opportunity, a door that is open to us, that the Lord has opened. We dare not fail. We dare not fail. So please pray for us that the Lord will help us to have wisdom. We'll do the right things. All right. We'll go to our... our slide presentation here, and I want to just help you. If you run into a Muslim, here's how to witness to them, okay? Now, some of you think, well, I could never witness to a Muslim. Good grief. I don't know what's in the Quran. I don't know what Islam is all about. But I promise you, it's not that difficult. So we're going to help you a little bit. Are you ready for it? And we're going to go kind of fast. I've noticed your program really goes chop, chop, chop. And so I'm going to try to stay with the program here if I can and not get off on a tangent. So first of all, what is the number one reason on the first? Look at this. Modern conveniences. Look at there. Number one reason Christians do not witness to Muslims. They're afraid. And this fact is becoming more true as time goes on, post 9/11. We don't want... You know why? Do you know why Christians didn't evangelize Muslims way back 1,400 years ago when this thing first started? Same reason. Fear. They didn't want to witness to them because they were afraid they might get killed for it. Well, Jesus is going to have something to say about that. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So we're going to have to ratchet up our Christian commitment here somewhat. Amen? So there's four things here. Can you see the words? Four words, love, bless, do good, and pray. And these are four things the Lord wants us to do to our enemies. Just four things. Love. Yes, but how? How do you do these things? Love them. And the first thing we're going to say is just, it's not really hard to love your enemy. Just say hello. And that's not being really gushy about it, is it? It's just say hello. And then bless them. Listen to them. You know, the biggest blessing that you can be to anybody is to listen. Counselors, Christian counselors will tell you that the most important work they do is listen. They'll also tell you that the hardest work they do is listen. You ever notice that? It's hard to listen to some people. Some people. It's very hard to listen to. And so just listen. Christians have been talking to Muslims for 1,400 years, and Muslims have been arguing with Christians for 1,400 years. I don't want to be rude, but just shut up and listen. Okay? You get the point? And then Jesus said, do good to them. Now, how can you do that? Give your testimony. Give your testimony. And then lastly, pray for them. Get a prayer request. So that's our little outline. And let's take them one by one, because after all, this is a course for beginners. I had to change that. Philippines, I had it. Muslim Evangelism for Dummies, and the Filipinos were coming up and saying, this is not a good word. And I said, we'll change that. So I've changed it to Muslim Evangelism for Beginners. So, I don't mean to insult your intelligence, but it is for beginners. So number one, how do you love your enemies? Say hello. Now, how hard is that? You go to Walmart and you see a Muslim woman in a hijab, you know, the covering. I'll bet you women rush up to her and introduce yourself, don't you? And say, man, it's great to have you in America. You do that? I trow not, to use a KJV word. I trow not. No, you don't do that. You skirt around them. You go down the other aisle, but you do stare. And if you want to shock a Muslim, I mean, if you really want to put them on a defensive, say hello. You'll scare them. Hi. And watch what happens. Now, in saying hello, introduce yourself. Give your first name, not your last name, obviously. They can look you up in a phone book. So, after all, they are your enemies, as you think, you know, not every Muslim is your enemy. Some Muslims make good neighbors. because they, because of their culture. I don't have time to go into that because we're on a fast pace here, Brother Jose. Honest. All right. Say hello. Introduce yourself. Give your first name and then ask their name. Now, I was telling Brother Lynn tonight that when you do ask a Muslim their name, they'll give you a name, but that's probably not their name. They'll give you a different name. Reason is they don't want you looking them up in the phone book. Okay, so go on a first name basis, say hello, give your name, ask their name, try to repeat their name three times, which is an old rule of memory. Okay, and so use it three times in a conversation, and you've got their name. Even if it's the wrong name, it's okay. After three times, they'll recognize their pseudo name they've given you. Okay, so when you love your enemies, you do what? Say hello. And you say hello in this way, you initiate a friendship. You initiate a friendship born of love. And by the way, you say, well, I can't do that. Listen, there's a lot of things you can't do, but you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. And he's the one that gives us love, even for our enemies. That's Christian, to be given love for your enemies. So next time you see a Muslim, what are you going to do? Say hello. You're going to give your name, and you're going to ask their name, and you're going to initiate a conversation. Then Jesus said to bless them, and to bless someone, you ask questions. You show an interest in them, and you're blessing them by showing an interest in them. And when you ask questions, what are you going to do? Listen, y'all are pretty smart. Not most congregations wouldn't have got that, but you following along here, they're going to listen. You ask questions and listen. The problem with, and this was a problem we had with Bible college students, when the Bible college students, first year students especially, if you want to know an answer to a Bible question, just ask a first year student. They know all the answers. Now the graduates, they have some doubts. But it takes 3 years to teach you that you don't know everything. But the problem with Christians and Muslims through the centuries has been that they want to get into an argument with each other. So just ask some questions. Well, what are some questions you can ask? Ask this question. Please tell me something about your faith. And when you ask that question, repeat it with me so that you get it. Let's read it. Please tell me something about your faith. And then what are you going to do? Going to listen. Now, I can't tell you what this is doing inside the heart of that Muslim. Of course, he thinks, boy, this is his great opportunity to practice dawah. Dawah is the Arabic word for witness. And he is duty-bound to witness just like Christians are. So you're giving him an opportunity for dawah, to fulfill his Muslim obligation. The problem is that he doesn't do this a lot. And he may be searching for things, but don't prompt him. Just ask the question and listen. Another question, one of my favorite is, how do Muslims know they go to heaven when they die? Now, this is a trick question because no Muslim knows for sure they're going to heaven when they die. And that's why this is a very important question. It gets them to thinking about their soul and eternity. And you ask them that question. They're going to give you an answer like, well, Allah knows. Only Allah knows who's going to heaven and who's not. But that's not the question. How do you know? What do you have to do? And just keep kind of pressing that so that he really faces the fact that he doesn't know when he dies that he's going to go to paradise or that he's going to go to Jahannam, to hell. He doesn't know, for he just doesn't know. And you really want him to be at that point. And when you get him to that point, you're really blessing him. You're blessing him by getting him to think about eternal things and to think about his soul. You're being a blessing to him. And especially a blessing because you're just, at this point, you're just listening. And then thirdly, do good to him, Jesus says. And how do you do that? You give the best thing you can do. The best thing you can do for a Muslim is to give your testimony. And one of the reasons why is a Muslim has no testimony. No witness of a relationship with God. He doesn't think it's possible in the first place or even desirable. He thinks Allah is so great and far and beyond him that it's blasphemy to talk about an intimate relationship with Allah. That's his theology. Okay, so do good to him and give him your testimony. You remember Paul's testimony? He gave it three times in the book of Acts. And when you find something three times in the Bible, that means it's pretty important, right? So when Paul gave his testimony three times in the book of Acts, he used an outline of 3 points. Okay? And I think it's what his life was like before he got saved, what happened to him the day he got saved, and what his life has been like since he's been saved. That was Paul's testimony. You can give your testimony on the same 3 points. What your life was like before you got saved, what happened the day that you got saved, and what your life has been like since you've been saved. And you can give that testimony in an elevator speech. As they call them elevator speeches because you can give this speech from the first floor to the fifth floor. And it's all done. Okay, so be able to give your testimony in a very brief time. What it was before, what happened the day, and what it's been like since you've been saved. Give your testimony. Write it out on one page and go over it. Write it out. I challenge you to do that. And put a verse in it because I really believe God's word, the entrance of thy word giveth light, the scripture says. And I believe it's God's word, not our arguments, not our brilliance. Because you see, the problem of the Muslim is not intellectual, it's moral and spiritual. That's his problem. He's got a heart problem. And he needs the scripture to open up his heart. Now, if you can't remember the verse exactly, give him the word of the truth of the scripture. Okay? And that'll work too. Not as good, but it will work. So give him your testimony. And then lastly, the last thing you do is pray for your enemy. Offer to pray. Now, I want to tell you that Muslims have no problem with this. Muslims are supposed to pray 5 times a day in public. So they don't mind you praying for them. In fact, they really like it. They don't even mind you praying in public with them, with bowed heads in a semi-private place. They don't mind that because they believe in prayer. Prayer is a part of their makeup, their life, and their culture. So get a prayer request for them. Ask them, how can I pray for you? I'm a Christian and I pray. I talk to God. He answers many of my prayers. And I'd like to know if I can pray for you. What is there? You can ask them about their adjustment in America. You can ask them about their education. Many of them are here for education. You can ask them about their employment, their finances. You can ask them about their family. A lot of times they have sick family members. And when you pray for their family member and they go back home and that family member's fever has broken, what are they going to think about that? Amen? Pray for them. Ask God to do things in his mercy for them. He does it all the time. He sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. He blesses people all the time that don't bless him. And that don't worship him. So get a prayer request and pray for something. I remember Carrie was in, we were in the Manila, Philippines. And we were in a place called Green Hills Mall. And this was a great, huge mall that was run by Muslims. And everybody goes there because you're supposed to get good deals. What everybody doesn't know is that the stuff you buy is not such a good deal. I think a watch I bought there for $5 lasted a couple of days. So, you know, it looks good because it said, a big fancy watch cost $5,000. You can buy one for $5 there. You know what I'm talking about. A what? Rolex, that's right. But it was misspelled. It was a Rolex. instead of a Rolex. I should have been a clue, but I, you know, not having one of those, I didn't know. So anyway, we were in this big mall, Muslims all around, and Carrie sees a little Muslim girl. She's all dressed head to foot in a black hijab, and she goes up to her, notices that she's expecting a baby, and she's young, so it could be her first. Carrie goes up to her and says, "You know, I've had 6 children, and I know what it's like to have the very first one. Is this your first one?" "Yes." You can see horror on her face. "Yes, this first one. So could I pray for you? I'm a Christian. I pray to God, and He answers many of my prayers. And I would like to pray for you and to pray for your baby, that you would have a healthy baby, that you would have a good delivery. Would that be all right?" And the little girl shook her head. "That'd be all right." And so right there in this busy mall, they bow their heads and Carrie prays for the little Muslim girl, young mother, and for the baby that's on its way. And you can do that. And sometimes you'll see what Carrie saw, a tear coursing down a Muslim cheek, and Muslim saying something like, "Thank you. Nobody's ever prayed for me like that before. Thank you for that prayer." So get a prayer request. Offer suggestions like sickness, job, education. We've gone through that. And then pray for them right there if possible. And follow up your prayer if you get to see them again. Or just ask them, would you call me? I mean, how are you going to do this? You got to be very sensitive. If they call you on your cell phone, you're going to have their number, right? Well, they know that. So tell them, call me at a phone booth next to my... No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But try to figure out some way to do follow-up with them so that you can pray again and see God answer prayer. And so you can... And you've already given your testimony, remember? What the Lord has done. And I promise you, that Muslim will never be the same after he hears your testimony. He will think about it. He will dream about it. Did you know that 9 out of 10 Muslims that have come to Christ have seen Jesus or seen a dream of some kind? Muslims are given to seeing dreams and things. And I think, it's my own opinion that God appears to Muslims in their sleep to try to get them directed in the right direction, to find a gospel message, a gospel tract, a New Testament, a Christian witness. God really works in the Muslim world. It's incredible. I could tell you stories that would make the hair stand on the back of your neck for the rest of the night that Muslims have shared with me, dreams they've had. And I always tell them I'm an interpreter of dreams, which I'm really not. I mean, not really. but I make up something. And I share the gospel with them. And I tell them, well, that seems to be like that would... Yeah, I see that in the New Testament. And then I arc where their dream is over to the New Testament. And then I give them gospel truth. I've done that several times. It's kind of a lot of fun. And it stretches your creativity a bit, I'd say. All right, so summary. Okay, we're going to do what Jesus said do for our enemies. Don't be enraged by your enemy. Be engaged with your enemy. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't be enraged by Muslims. Be engaged with Muslims. Jesus said, love your enemy. Bless them. Do good to them. Pray for them. That's what Jesus said. Are we going to be followers of Jesus? Are we just going to go to church? Are we going to do what he said? Live like he lived? Fulfill his word and his commission? Or are we just going to play church? So there it is. Let's summarize. Let's see if you've been with me now. First thing we're going to do is what? Say hello. What's the second thing we're going to do? Ask questions and listen. What's the third thing we're going to do? We're going to do good to them. We're going to give our testimony. And then lastly, we're going to do what? Going to pray for them. We're going to get a prayer request and pray for them right there on the spot. And I want to promise you, beloved, if we will do what Jesus said, He will manifest Himself. Did I say that? Himself. That came from Tennessee, I think. He will manifest Himself in that situation. That's what He said He would do. He that hath my word and keepeth it loveth me. And He loves my Father. And we will manifest ourselves to Him. John 14, 21. And so if we want the Lord to show up in our lives, then we need to obey His word. And instead of being enraged by our enemy, we'll be engaged with our enemy the way Jesus said. Let's stand for prayer. I don't know, just would there be any question that you'd have right before we pray and turn it back over to Jose and let him do what dignified people do? Any question you have about our ministry or...
because you've got the full Bible and they've only picked it around and only have bits and pieces and they're very confused.
That's a good point, but it leads me to even a better point, and that is, as much as is possible, evade any discussion about the Quran. Don't even bring it up. If they bring it up, that's fine. Talk about whatever they're talking about, because a lot of the Quran is extracted stories out of the Bible, some of them not true. For example, the third son of Noah died in the flood, according to the Quran. Okay? Well, what does that mean? Well, that third son that died in the flood was the progenitor of, he was Ham, and that's the progenitor of most of the Arab race, which means you ain't supposed to be here. I mean, you followed my logic. So you don't want to go there, because all it's going to do is create an argument. And the Bible says the servant of the Lord must not fight. He must not strive. He must not argue. Avoid it. Run away from it. Escape it in any way you can. And get to the simple stuff of evangelism for beginners. Muslim evangelism for beginners. Just do what Jesus said. And try not to get into an argument with Muslims. That's what they love to do. Middle Easterners love to argue. Oh, man. It's a sport. So, it's really derailed a lot of good conversations. Way in the back, I saw a hand. Yes, ma'am.
What language
do you deal with? Do we deal with? Well, Farsi is the Iranian language, and we speak a bit of German, ein bisschen, and we do a little bit of Pig Latin, and we're trying to learn English better. Himself. I can't believe I said that. Okay. Anybody else? Real quick. All right. Brother Jose, I'm going to turn it over to you. Thank you again for... You're blessing us with your sacrificial offerings and time that you spend in prayer, really before the Lord, and asking Him to work in our behalf. Continue to pray for us. We are on the edge of the biggest breakthrough in history, and we really need you to pray. I don't think this window of opportunity will be open much longer. If we go to war with Iran, that's going to change a lot of the dynamics. So please pray that God will keep this door open. All right.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. If you have opportunity to visit Ponca City, we invite you to be present in our worship services. We're located just 1 mile north of the city at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. We'd like a chance to say welcome in person. But until that time, God bless you. Have a great week, and thanks again for listening.